Here's your fair value brief for Wednesday, August 26, 2026. Let's start with the big three. First, copper is now the bottleneck for AI. OpenAI's new Jalapeno chip and NVIDIA's $6 billion push into open-weight models are driving copper demand up 15% per unit. That sent prices up 7.6% this month, and it's starting to squeeze semiconductor profits. Next, oil's drop is deceptive. Brent crude fell 4% to $85.03 on Iran-Oman talks. But here's the catch. Only 5 tankers passed through the Strait of Hormuz this weekend. Before the tensions, that number was 130 a day. Supply risks are still very real. And finally, NVIDIA's earnings report today isn't just about revenue. It's about whether $250 billion in annual AI capex can overcome physical limits, copper shortages, grid constraints, and $500 billion in hidden leverage. Now, to the big story. Copper is the first real physical limit on AI spending. Semiconductor stocks had a strong session yesterday. AMD up 4.9%, Marvel up 4.8%, NVIDIA up 2.2%, but the real action was in copper. Prices jumped 7.6% this month to $6.82 per pound. Why? Because AI's hunger for power and cooling is running straight into a supply wall. OpenAI's new Jalapeno chip, made with Broadcom and TSMC, needs 15% more copper per wafer for denser wiring. NVIDIA's $6 billion bet on open-weight models? Each H200 cluster requires 12 metric tons of copper just to keep running. Meanwhile, mine supply is only growing at 2.1% a year, while data center demand is rising at 5.3%. The result? CRU Group forecasts a 250,000-ton deficit for 2026. This isn't just about higher costs. It's reshaping three key markets. First, chip profits. AMD already lowered its Q4 data center revenue guidance by 3% last week, blaming power delivery constraints. NVIDIA's gross margin slipped from 76.4% to 75.5%. Copper is literally cutting into AI's profits. Second, inflation. COPPA's 12-month change flipped from negative 8.2% in January to positive 11.4% today. That's helping push core PCE services inflation to 2.6% year-over-year. The Fed's September forecast now shows just 125 basis point cut, with 65% probability, down from 2 cuts just a month ago. And third, Fed policy. Persistent commodity inflation means rates stay higher for longer. The 10-year Treasury yield at 4.7% reflects hedging against a slowdown the Fed can't fully offset with cuts. So here's the key question. Is copper a short-term squeeze or a long-term cap on AI growth? If supply stays flat, CapEx growth could hit a 30% annual limit. Alternatives like aluminum or superconductors, they're at least 5 years away. For now, chipmakers are stuck with few good options. Keep an eye on LME copper inventories. If they drop below 100,000 tons, we're looking at a deficit and prices above $720 a pound. Above 150,000 tons? That'd signal some temporary relief. Now, to the markets. Stocks are riding the AI wave, but bonds are telling a different story. Equities climbed in yesterday's session. Semiconductors led the way, but the 10-year Treasury yield is sitting at 4.7% and the 2 years at 4.24%. That's a spread of just 0.46 percentage points. The divide is clear. Stocks are betting on a soft landing, while bonds are pricing in sticky inflation, like that 11.4% surge in copper. Today's data could break the stalemate. We've got July PCE, forecast at 0.2% month-over-month for the core reading, and the second quarter GDP revision, expected at 1.5% annualized. A hot PCE number could push the 2-year yield even higher, tightening financial conditions. But if it misses, that might lift the odds of a September rate cut, which are currently at 35%. Meanwhile, oil's 4% drop to $85.03 looks calm on the surface, but don't be fooled. The Strait of Hormuz is still a choke point. Only 5 tankers made it through this weekend, compared to a pre-war daily average of 130. And the U.S. just expanded sanctions to Iran's digital assets, gold, aviation, and shipping, giving third countries a deadline to cut ties. Here's the reality check. The risk premium hasn't vanished. The U.S. Treasury's Operation Economic Outcast aims to, quote, sever Iran's economic lifelines. The UAE, Iran's top trade partner, has already halted all transactions. So yes, oil's drop is a repricing, but it's not a reset. Now, the big picture. The S&P 500 hit 7,677 yesterday, up 0.3% in the session and 3.6% for the month, led by tech. But bonds are singing a different tune. The 10-year yield at 4.7% and the 2-year at 4.24, with that tight spread of 0.46, signal real caution about growth. The VIX at 15.7 suggests complacency in stocks, but bonds are reflecting those physical limits, like copper squeezing AI margins. Here's the clash. Stocks are banking on AI productivity gains, while bonds see inflation and a Fed that's stuck in place. If copper stays high, margins shrink, inflation persists, and the Fed stays restrictive, that's a direct test for equities optimism. And oil. Brent's 4% drop to 85.03 hides the ongoing strain. 5 tankers cleared the Strait of Hormuz this weekend, versus 130 before the tensions. U.S. sanctions now target Iran's shipping, gold, and digital assets, and the UAE has cut trade ties. The risk premium is being repriced, not removed. Around the world, the Strait of Hormuz is still a flashpoint. Iran and Oman may be talking about a joint shipping corridor, but this weekend's traffic, just 5 vessels, shows we're far from normal. The U.S. Treasury's Operation Economic Outcast is going after Iran's economic lifelines, including digital assets and gold. And the UAE, Iran's top trade partner, has suspended all transactions. Bottom line, oil's 4% decline is misleading. Supply chains are still one disruption away from chaos. Up north, Canada's retaliatory tariffs are disrupting U.S. auto supply chains. Canada hit back against U.S. tariffs with levies on $20 billion worth of U.S. goods, aluminum, steel, agriculture. The first $10 billion phase starts September 1st. Another $10 billion follows if the U.S. doesn't back down. The fallout? Auto manufacturers, especially in Detroit, are facing delays and higher costs. Ontario Premier Doug Ford called the U.S. tariffs unacceptable. Cross-border production is already getting messy. Now let's talk companies. COPPA's profit squeeze is here. AMD gained 4.9% yesterday on a Raymond James upgrade. Price target, $6.41. But last week, it lowered its Q4 data center guidance by 3%, citing power delivery constraints. Translation, copper shortages. Marvel was up 4.8%, riding the AI wave, but it's facing the same margin pressure. Up 27% this month, its rally depends on earnings outpacing those rising copper costs. And then there's Nvidia, reporting today. This is the big test. Its gross margin guidance already slipped to 75.5%, COPPA's fingerprint. If margins slide further, the AI spending wave hits a wall. Elsewhere, Coinbase was up 4.3%, tracking Bitcoin's 23% monthly gain. But exchange stablecoin reserves dropped 20%, from $80 billion to $64 billion. That's a liquidity warning. Merck surged 3.8% on cancer drug progress, up 19.7% this month. A rare bright spot in healthcare. Target, though, dipped 3.8%, despite a 16.5% monthly gain. Same-store sales softness is hinting at consumer caution. Nike extended its 6.3% monthly decline with a 3.1% drop yesterday. China demand concerns are weighing heavy. Occidental followed oil's 4% drop, down 2.8%, but it's still up 6.3% for the month. Energy stocks remain volatile. Netflix climbed 2.8% on subscriber growth, up 16.8% this month. Streaming standout. Deer slid 2.8% on signs of a farm equipment slowdown, despite a 0.9% monthly gain. We'll get a rural economy check next month. And Shopify rose 2.7% on e-commerce strength, up 21.3% this month. Online spending is rebounding. From Washington, the Fed's inflation dilemma is getting sharper. The tone in the July FOMC minutes turned more cautious, with several participants favoring a 25 basis point hike, stronger language than June's a few. AI investment is now seen as boosting demand and inflation. The Fed funds rate is still at 3.63%, but markets are pricing a 42% chance of a September hike. Boston Fed's Susan Collins put it bluntly, if inflation stalls, we may need to raise rates again. Today's PCE report, forecast at 0.2% month-over-month for the core, is critical. A hotter reading could reignite hike expectations. A miss might ease the pressure. Either way, the Fed's message is clear. Inflation is persistent, and the bar for easing is high. Now, let's go under the hood. Copper is breaking the AI spending chain. Semiconductors rose yesterday. AMD up 4.9, Marvel up 4.8, Nvidia up 2.2, but copper is the bottleneck. Here's how the pressure builds. First, AI demand is outstripping copper supply. OpenAI's Jalapeno chip and Nvidia's $6 billion model push require 15% more copper per unit. Supply is growing at 2.1% a year. Data center demand is up 5.3%. Result, a 250,000-ton deficit in 2026. Second, copper is feeding inflation. Prices swung from negative 8.2% to positive 11.4% year-over-year, pushing core PCE services inflation to 2.6%. The Fed's September forecast now shows just 125 basis point cut, with 65% odds, down from 2 cuts. Third, inflation means higher rates. Nvidia's gross margin already slipped to 75.5% because of copper costs. Higher discount rates limit how much investors will pay for future earnings. And fourth, higher rates cap earnings growth. If copper supply stagnates, AI capex growth could hit a 30% annual ceiling. Alternatives like aluminum or superconductors, they need 5 years of R&D. So is this a temporary squeeze or a permanent drag? If it's permanent, semiconductor earnings growth is structurally limited until new materials arrive. Watch LME copper inventories. Below 100,000 tons, and we're looking at 720 plus prices. Above 150,000 tons? That'd suggest some relief. Now, worth learning today, the balance sheet. A balance sheet lists what a company owns, its assets, what it owes, its liabilities, and its net worth or equity. Take Nvidia, for example. As of July 2026, assets, $120 billion. That's cash, data centers, patents, everything it owns. Liabilities, $50 billion. Debt, unpaid bills, the money it owes. Equity, $70 billion. The net value after debts. Here's how it works. Assets always equal liabilities plus equity. Everything Nvidia owns is funded by debt or shareholders. Debt acts as leverage. Nvidia's $12 billion vendor financing programs let customers buy chips now and pay later. That's safe if sales keep growing, but risky if they stall. The interest coverage ratio, earnings divided by interest, measures safety. Nvidia's is around 20 times, which is strong. Below 1.5 times, that's trouble. Cash is the buffer. Nvidia's $25 billion in cash gives it flexibility, weathering downturns or seizing opportunities. Low cash plus high debt equals vulnerability. Remember the yield price seesaw from our bond lesson? Debt works the same way. More leverage boosts growth, but raises risk if earnings falter. And recall how companies make money. Margins matter, and copper is squeezing Nvidia's. Why does this matter now? Copper costs shrink margins, weakening equity. Companies like AMD may need to take on more debt to fund growth, raising interest coverage risks. Less cash plus more debt means less room for error. Now, what to watch this week? Today, August 26th, core PCE price index month over month at 8:30 a.m. Eastern. This is the Fed's key inflation measure. A hotter reading raises the odds of a hike. Preliminary GDP quarter over quarter, also at 8:30. We're looking for a revision to second quarter growth. And after the market closes, Nvidia earnings. The big question, will copper hurt margins? Then, on August 28th, Canada's GDP month over month at 8:30 a.m. A check on economic health. Fed Chair Warsh speaks at 10 a.m. His first major address, worth listening for tone. Payrolls revision at 10 a.m. Prior jobs data might have been overstated. And Jackson Hole all day? Central bankers gathering means volatility is likely. Finally, yesterday's question about the Australian dollar CPI is still pending. The data isn't in yet. And tomorrow's question. Today's core PCE print is forecast at 0.2% month over month. If it comes in hot, which way does the 2-year Treasury yield move, and why? Hint, think about the Fed's reaction. Answer in tomorrow's edition. That's it for today. We'll see you tomorrow.